the Chavota Levavot in Perek Dalet, he goes into real-life practical applications of the Midah of Bitachon. He begins by categorizing two different places where a person will have to use his powers of Bitachon to succeed. He categorizes them as number one, Inyane Olam Hazeh, things that pertain to this world, the Inyane Olam Haba, and things that pertain to the next world. First, we're going to start with the Inyane Olam Hazeh. Rabbi Dessler in the Mechtav Me'eliyahu asked the following question: where can we find a truly satisfied, happy person? He says most of us equate happiness with the ability to acquire, which means money. Everyone thinks the way to be happy in life is the money. Whoever has the most money is the happiest. That's 99% of the people's attitudes. I don't know, 99%, but a good percentage of the people. What's going to lead to happiness? Money. And that's why we admire someone who's ambitious. He's a go-getter. He's trying to do. We look at him as, you know, he's honorable. But a person who doesn't have those qualities, we call him a batlan. He's a lazy good for nothing. He's not running after the money. And the Rabbi Dessler, so to speak, interviews different people, different classes of people in the world, and he says, let's see who's really happy. Let's see if the rich are really happy. Let's see if the middle class are. Let's see who's happy. So he starts off with the ashirim. He starts off with the rich. And he says, on the surface, they all look happy. All the rich look happy. He says, but if you dig a little deeper, and you ask him, is there anything bothering you? He'll start breaking down. And one of the things they'll tell you maybe is, you know, I have, but I'm jealous. I can't over my neighbor. Anything I do, he does better than me. Any party I make, his party's better. Any car that I get, his car is better. Whatever I do, my neighbor does better. Jealousy. Even though he has, it's eating him inside. Or he has a certain desire. He has a ta'aba that he can't satisfy. No matter how much money he has, he can't get it. It's killing him inside. There's money, but there's no happiness. Or I'll have some people, maybe they'll have a family problem, they'll have a child problem. Different issues. Money is not necessarily going to bring the happiness. Then he goes to the next class. He goes to the Benonim, to the middle class. And he asks them if they're happy. And they say, well, right now we're not happy. He says, but we know one day we're going to get there. We're working hard, we're saving, we're putting away savings. Eventually we're going to use our money, we're going to retire, we're going to have the good life. But now we need, you know, now we're struggling, but eventually we're going to get there. And these people always, there's always something's going to come up. They had money saved away, the wedding came up, they had to pay for it. That money, the bar mitzvah. And they're always going to be trying to wait for that eventual time where eventually we're going to be happy, and it might never come. So if you ask them, are they happy? They'll say, eventually I'll be happy, but who knows? And then you go to he went to the aniim, to the poor people. And he says, he asked the poor people if they're happy, and the poor people are so resentful. They say, we work much harder than the rich. We're working for them. We're getting them all their money, and we get nothing out of it. We're poverty stricken, and we're doing all the work. He says, if you go to every class of people, rich, the middle class, the poor, you're all going to find the same response, and more or less, that everybody basically is, says it's a disturbing conclusion, but no one in life is truly satisfied, and nobody's happy. And he says that begs the question, that how could God, the source of all good and happiness, create a world where there's such depression and such lack of satisfaction? And the rabbi answers and he says, Hashem created a beautiful world, full of simcha, full of satisfaction. The world is great. The world He put you in is great. It's available. It's there for the taking. You could have a great life. You could enjoy every second of it. He says, but what? The kin'ah, the kavod and the ta'ava, they pull you out of the world. It's your fault. It's your jealousy that makes you not able to enjoy. It's your honor seeking. It's your desires. I want more. I want this. I want that. That's all pulling. It's all causing yourself. You're causing yourself to be depressed. But if you want to live in the world that Hashem has in store for you, you'll be very happy. And this is why the Chazal say the famous statement, we all know in Pirkei Avot, Ezehu Ashir, Asomech, Bechalko, who's the truly rich man, who's the truly happy person, who's happy with his lot. He's not also rich, he's the only rich man. The definition of rich is to feel complete. And as long as you're feeling lacking, you'll never be happy. The Baalei Musar tell the, like a joke, they tell the story of a man who fell into depression. And the doctor said, his only refuah, his only medicine is, he has to wear the shirt of a man who's truly satisfied. If he finds a man who's completely satisfied, puts on his shirt, he'll be better. So they went on a mad hunt looking around the world to find the man who's truly satisfied, looking here, looking... Nope, they couldn't find anyone. He finally found one guy in the top of a mountain. You know, he's sitting out there in the middle of nowhere, and he's truly satisfied, but he didn't have a shirt. He didn't have a shirt. Why? Because possessions don't make you happy. That's not what's going to bring you the satisfaction. So the first thing we have to do, we have to use our bitachon that we've been learning over the past few weeks. We have to use it to combat the horrible midah of kin'ah, of jealousy. Because like we said, the more you're looking at other people, the more unsatisfied you'll feel. How do we use bitachon? We'll see in a minute. How we use bitachon to combat this. It says in Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech writes, Haye besarim lev marpeh urkav atzamot kin'ah. He says the life of a person is his heart, and the rotting of the bones comes from jealousy. Rabbeinu Yonah says, all health in life, all good health is dependent upon the heart. You have to have a good, strong heart if you want to be healthy. And what weakens the heart? Nothing more than jealousy. The doctors say the most dangerous of all health hazards is stress. Stress. Everyone, who's not stressed out? Everyone's stressed out. What causes stress? One thing. Looking at everybody else and feeling pressure. I have to live up to them. I have to do more. I have to work harder. I don't have as much as him. I don't have the house like him. I don't have the car like him. I got to put in more hours, more than more. And when you're not accomplishing, the stress just keeps building and building. And the demands get higher and higher and you can't produce. That causes stress. And it causes sickness, lo aleinu, to a person's heart to the point of physical illness. If a guy wants to go on a diet, he wants to protect his heart, he cuts down on cholesterol, you're much more better off cutting down on your jealousy. Cutting jealousy will heal you much more than your cholesterol level. There was a funeral for a man, a wealthy man. He lost all his money. He went from riches to rags. And he ended up becoming a collector. He walking around house to house collecting. And one of the speakers at his funeral said, he died from hunger. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was there. He was in the crowd. And the rabbi said, no. He didn't die from hunger. He died from jealousy and honor. He couldn't bear it. He couldn't bear walking around with other people having more than him. He said he couldn't sustain it like others. There's many others who went through a situation. They had a lot. They lost. When we go through difficulties in life, envy makes it much worse than it really is. I'm going to show you right now. I'll give you a proof. But you could have a situation that you're in. It's really not that bad. What kills it? What makes it 1,000 times worse? Envy. Rabbi Talberg brought out a beautiful example. He said, imagine, lo aleinu, 95% of the world couldn't have children. He said, would a childless couple be as depressed as they are now that everyone else has children? Would they be so depressed? They'd say, no one has children. There's only a couple of people in the world with children. What's the big deal? He says, though, it's not the childlessness really that's causing the major depression, the major problem. What is that everybody else has children and I don't. That's the main, it's the envy. The envy is the kill. If a person couldn't afford to go away one winter vacation, could lead to a miserable week. Kids are going to complain, horrible. And the father maybe will go do whatever he can, he'll scrape up, he'll kill himself. We got to go away. Pressure, stress. If nobody else was going away that week, it wouldn't bother you. You're not going away anyway. No one's going away, right? Are you going away this week? Are you killing yourself to go on vacation? Why do you kill yourself? Because everybody else is doing it. It kills us. It kills our whole life, looking around at other people. It says in Kohelet, it says, again, another quote from Shlomo HaMelech. He says, Ra'iti ani et kol amal ve'et kol kishron ha-ma'aseh ki hu ken'at ish mere'eh. I looked around the world, I saw all toil, all of human endeavor, everyone killing themselves all day long. What is it for? One thing. Again, there's the wisest of all men. It's all jealousy. That's all it is. All the hard work, everything is all stems from jealousy. Many Ashkenazim, they go away in the summer to these upstate New York, these bungalow colonies. I don't know if you ever saw any of them. I passed by them a couple of times. And the accommodations, they're not so, it doesn't look so luxurious. But they love it. They wish they could be there for two and a half months. They wish they could be there all year. They love, like, they can't get over. They're talking about it all the time. We can't wait to go up to the country. And really, the living condition looks horrendous. The little bungalows, they're teeny. They must have, you know, 9 kids packed in that little thing. They have two bedrooms each for each kids. They have 4 kids in one room, 5 in the other. They have a little hole in the wall for themselves, the parents. One room, main room for the living room, the den, the kitchen, everything. It's all in one room. And they love it. They're so happy. Over here, anyone would have it over there, they would be miserable. What is it? How come over there they're so happy? The answer's obvious. Because over there, everybody has it. Everyone in the whole country, they all have the same house. Since they all have the same house, we don't care. We enjoy it. The Mesilat Yesharim says, if it wasn't for jealousy, everyone would be satisfied with just a roof over your head and some bread and water to eat. That's all I would need. That's all. It's all jealousy. The world runs on kin'ah, on jealousy. Why is hearing impaired any worse than sight impaired? If a guy has a bad vision and he has to put on glasses, does anybody look twice at him? He has glasses, so what? No, next, he has glasses. But if a guy can't hear so well and he has a hearing aid, all of a sudden everybody, oh, Hazit, he has hearing. What's the difference? They're both, one he has a vision impaired, one has a hearing impaired. The difference is, there's many people who have bad eyesight, so we got used to it, who cares? And there's only a few people with bad hearing. It makes no sense. You have a little 3-year-old. You see him in school with a pair of glasses. Everyone's, oh, he's so cute, Hazit, he has a little glass. What's wrong with glasses? Everyone has glasses. Yeah, but he's only 3. There's no one else in his class has it. Ah, Hazit, he's a Hazit. It all depends on everybody else. That's everything in life. If we could conquer this, if you could get over this hump of everybody else, looking at everybody else, and only look, rather than looking at everybody else, only look into yourself, your lives would be so much happier. Our lives would be so much happier. So in order to solve the problem, let's look at what is the root of kin'ah. What causes the jealousy? So they explain that everybody is born with a sense of yashrut, which means upright, justice. We all want justice to be served. We all want things to be straight. Says even, it bothers us. When things are a little off, we get bothered. Says even if you would walk into a room and you would see a picture, it's a little crooked, our first inclination is, let's straighten it out. I want it to look straight. I need to feel that everything's in order. So he says that we think that everybody in the world deserves to have the same. Why should he have more than me? It's not fair. That's not yashrut. It's not fair. If somebody else in the world has something that I don't have, now I feel it's unfair. My sense of yashrut has been tampered with. Now I feel it's not fair. And we're all born with this. You see, you look at two children. One child, you pour him a glass of soda, and he has three quarters of the cup full. For the other child, he has, you know, a little more than half full. And what does he say? Hey, how come he got more? It's not fair. I can't bear it. I can't bear it. Why did he get and I didn't? That's not fair. It's not fair. I can't be happy. I'm not happy. But you just got a whole half a cup of soda. Yeah, but he has more. That's not fair. And you'll never enjoy anything because you're always looking at someone else. But if we were to realize that who's in charge of this whole world? Who is giving him the three quarters of a cup of soda and who is giving you the half a cup? Hashem is so exacting. He calculated your life and everyone else's life down to the penny. He knows exactly how much money you need, how you should get your money, when you should get your money, where you should get your money. It's calculated to the cent. It's with such a cheshbon by the one who loves you so much, who knows exactly what you need. We have to step back and say, this world is a fleeting world. This world, we're here for a few years. The main world is the next world. Well, how long is this world? Everyone is here on a mission. Everyone has a job to do. Hashem knows everyone's job and He gives them accordingly. It's exactly what you need. If you were to have what He had, you wouldn't do your job. Stop looking at Him. What He has is not for you. And this is the first rule, by the way, in parenting. I went to a parenting class once and they said you have to make it clear to your kids that they have nothing to do with their siblings. What you give one sibling has nothing to do with the other. They say, hey, how come he got that? How come he got that? Because he got that and you didn't. Because that's what it is. You have nothing to do with him. Just because he got it doesn't mean you get it. And sometimes he needs it and you don't. A child, you know, he fell on the floor, he hurt himself, he's in a tantrum, he's screaming, crying. And the mother goes and gives him a candy to pacify him. And the other kid, hey, that's not fair. Why do you get? He needs the candy and you don't need the candy. It's the same thing in life. Hashem, you need this now. You need the vacation now because Hazid, he needs the vacation. You don't need it. Be happy. You don't need the vacation. If you needed the vacation, he would have given you the money for it. You don't need it. Just forget about it. Everyone is living in his own world. This is where the bitachon comes in. Because once you believe that, we're in our own world, Hashem is running my life, He knows what I need, He knows He's giving me exactly what I need. We'll stop looking around, you'll stop looking at others, and you'll enjoy your life much more. The Baal bitachon, also, he never has regret. Anything he buys, anything he does, he doesn't look back. He doesn't say, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have bought that. I shouldn't have sold that stock. I shouldn't have bought that one. He has no regret. I shouldn't have bought that house. I shouldn't have got that. The Gemara says, a heavenly voice comes out and it says, that bayit piloni lepiloni. This house is destined for that man. And sadeh piloni lepiloni. This field is destined for this man. And isha piloni lepiloni. And this lady is destined for this man. A lot of people, they're scared to get married. What are they scared about? Because, I don't know, right now I have so many options. They're all open to me. Once I narrow them down, that's it, I'm out now. Wrong. You have no options. There's only one girl out there for you. There's one lady. She's waiting for you. You don't have any other option except one. There's one house for you. Hashem has it in store. And once you have it, that's it. Hashem made it that's the one I chose. That's the one I picked. And be happy with it now, because it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't meant for you. You'd save a lot of divorces like that. But besides for jealousy, there's another thing that the world runs on. The world also runs on kabod, on honor. A lot of people, you know why they want money? I want money. I have what I need, but I want money because I love the honor. I see you look around, the rich people, they're always getting honor, everyone shakes their hand, stands up for them, they're just, I want to be like that. I want honor. Says the Chovot HaLevavot. Take this is ridiculous, he says, first of all. He says the only reason why people honor the rich is because they want some of their money. That's it. They want their money. And you think that if I honor this man, or whoever it is, that maybe one day I'll benefit from him somehow. I'll need a helping hand, and I always gave him honor. He'll help me out. Or he'll share some with me. I don't know how. I know I'm giving him honor because maybe I'll get something out of him. He says, but if Eliyahu HaNavi would come down to you and he would tell you, I guarantee from now till the day you die, you will not get a penny out of this guy. He says, you wouldn't want to honor him anymore. He says, so what are you running after when you want money for honor? You're running after false honor. Who wants that? Who wants false kavod? If the guy is, he has good midot, he's wealthy, but he's a beautiful person, he helps people, he's a nice guy. Oh, he's deserving of kavod. That's the way to earn kavod. By being good to the people, beautiful. You could earn that without money. You don't need the money for that. So don't run after, chase the money for false kavod. Ridiculous. So there are many times, many people, and many situations throughout the course of a person's lifetime where he's not going to have what he thinks he needs. But if you don't have it, you don't need it. Chovot Levavot continues, he says, what should a person do if he sees that he's living in a time or in a situation in his life where the money's not coming? What should you do? What should your attitudes be? When you're not making the money that you feel like you need. He says a person has to think that Hashem, who brought me into the world at this exact time in history, not a moment before, not a moment after, Hashem, for whatever reason, is withholding my parnasah now. Because He knows it's good for me. And Hashem knows that this is what I need now. And I should accept it. That's easy to say, but it's hard to do. It requires a lot of avodah. I know exactly now, even though I don't have any money, it's best for me. But the reward for this is tremendous. The Navi says that if a person has that attitude, when the money's not coming, and he says, Hashem, I know it's best for me. I know you're in charge. I know you're right next to me. You see me not having the money. You could give me it in a second, and you still don't give it to me. And you say, Hashem, I know that's the best for me. He says, Hashem considers this such a chesed. The Navi says, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, and they had what they have on their backs, some dough, some matzah, they went, followed Hashem out into the desert. Did they know where they were eating? There's no food out there in the desert. Did they know where their parnasah is coming? And they followed Hashem into the desert. Hashem said, thousands of years later, Zacharti la chesed neurayich, ahavat kilulotayich, lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz zilu. I still remember, thousands of years later, that you followed me into the desert and you didn't know where you're getting your money. That, Hashem loved it. He loved it. When you don't think you're getting money and you follow me anyway, that's the biggest service you could do. So these are opportunities, especially in our times. When the money is not coming, these are opportunities for growth, to get close to Hashem on the highest levels, because it involves so much focus. Put all the difficulties of life aside. Yeah, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do about the rent next week. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do about my kids' tuition. And you put it aside and you say, but what could I do? Don't get depressed. Hashem is right near me. He sees. What, you think He doesn't know that I don't have money now? You think He doesn't have trillions of dollars? He knows it's best for me. What a service that is to Hashem. What an avodah. He continues, Chovot HaLevavot. He says, Other inyanei olam hazeh. How does bitachon come into play with our relationships to people? So he describes a person in two different situations. He says, number one, you could be in a place where you're a stranger. And you feel alone. Or you could be a time in your life where you just, you know, you feel like you have no friends. I used to have a lot of friends. I don't know anyone anymore. No one calls me, no one this, no one that. I feel abandoned. I feel alone. He says, you are obligated in every situation you're in to look and analyze, why is this good for me now? Why is it good now that I don't have friends? I used to have friends, I don't have friends. Why is that good for me now? And try to think of the reasons. Maybe I'm in a point in my life, Hashem wants me to grow a little more spiritually. Maybe he took off the headache of having to go to a party and a different wedding every night. You know why? I don't have friends, I'm not invited to their affairs. You know, I don't have to worry about going. It's such a healthy attitude, especially when a person doesn't get invited to a party, doesn't get invited to a wedding. He feels, oh, the guy doesn't like me. It's not him. You weren't invited. Think of the reason why you weren't invited and look for the good in it. Why was that good? Why wasn't invited? Oh, maybe there's a class that night. Now I don't have to worry about going to both. Beautiful. You know what? My wife had somewhere to go, and now I could stay home and babysit so she could go. Beautiful. Wow, worked out great. Instead of looking at the negative, look for the good in every situation. And he says, if you have a good group of friends, you have a nice group, people always hanging out with you, good, solid, nice citizens, he says, then say, thank you, Hashem, wow, beautiful, I have nice friends. I should use them for my benefit. Maybe they'll get me to go to classes, they'll get me to do this. Every situation, look for the good. Now, what about our relationships with our enemies? There are people that try to harm us. They like to see bad happen to you. What should our attitudes be towards them? And people have so much frustration. What he said about me, what he did to me. This guy didn't honor me. Person could live his whole life in frustration because of always thinking of what other people did to him. He says, but you could turn the whole situation around and you could feel so much satisfaction with a small change in attitude. Get one idea ingrained in your head. He didn't hurt you. He didn't do this to you. He has no say. The person who didn't invite you, it wasn't up to him, Hazid. Hashem took it out of his brain that you shouldn't be invited because you were meant not to be invited. Maybe because, you know what? Maybe you were meant to undergo a little bit of suffering. I don't know. Whatever the reason is, don't blame it on him. He had no say. Instead of always feeling grudges, you know, we have a mitzvah in this week's parasha, Kedoshim. A mitzvah that sounds like impossible to fulfill. But Hashem doesn't give anyone a commandment that if we're not able to fulfill it. It says in the Torah, Lo tikom velo titor. We all heard of it. You can't take revenge and you can't bear a grudge. We know the famous case that your friend comes to you or you come to your friend, your neighbor, and you say, you do me a favor, I need to borrow your car for a minute. Let me go out. I'll be back in an hour, please. Your neighbor says, I don't know. I might be using my car today. I can't. You know, just a half hour, please. I don't know. I might be using it. Okay. You go back to your house. You don't have a car. You can't get to where you're going. You look out your window. The car is still... Half hour later, the car is still there. 2 hours later, the car... The whole day, the car wasn't moved from his driveway. Okay, that's life. What could I do? The guy's you feel like the guy's a lowlife. Okay, next. Next day, the guy comes to you the next morning. He says, oh, I'm gonna have, my wife took the car. I need a car, please, just for a half hour. I gotta go. I'll bring it right back to you. What does the Torah say? Lo tikom velo titor. Not only give it to him, but don't say, and I'm not like you, give it to him with a smile. Of course. You want my car? Take it for 2 hours. How does anyone have human strength to do something like that? There's only one way. Yesterday, it wasn't him who told you no. He has no say. Hashem said, you are not getting a car. I don't care what you try to do. You can't get a car. You go to him, I'm going to take it out of his brain not to give you the car. If you have that attitude that everyone in life is a puppet, all he is controlled by God, God didn't want you to have the car, then the next day, okay. But now I have a mitzvah on me. Chesed. Of course, I love to do chesed. That's what I'm here for. Give the guy the car. Take it, please. Do whatever you... The only way to do this mitzvah is bitachon. There's no one... It's impossible. This is what bitachon does for a person. And the practical advice to accomplish all this is only through regilut. Training. It requires training. You have to respond to all situations with these ideas. Even again, like we don't believe him all the time. We don't feel that way. I don't feel, but you have to say, Me'et Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Ishtabach Shemo. It's for my good. Everything. And the more you train, the more you say it, the more you believe it. And if you get, once this idea becomes a natural instinct inside of you, you'll finally be a satisfied person. When the Emet sings into you, yeah, it's all, I'm really, I couldn't believe my whole life. I couldn't believe it. I really thought that everyone's in charge and this and that. It was all scam. Hashem is running the world. He loves me. He's doing it. Once you get that idea ingrained in your head, the person, that's the satisfied person in life. The next part that the Chovot Levavot deals with is how do we have bitachon, he says, in inyane ruchaniyut, in our spiritual life. Where does bitachon come into play? He says that you need bitachon to serve Hashem properly. In mitzvot, all mitzvot that you do, ben adam l'makom. Well, where does it come into play? So first, he explains where it doesn't. If a person wants to do a mitzvah, he needs three things before he does any mitzvah. What are the three things? Number one, you have to make a decision. I want to do the mitzvah. Number two, you have to make preparations to do the mitzvah. And number three, you have to actually do the mitzvah. For example, a guy says, I want to go to shul tomorrow to pray, shacharit. He made a decision. I want to go to shul tomorrow. That's part one. Part two, preparations. Set the alarm. Make sure you close around. Make sure you have every the means to get there. Make sure you have a car. And part three, go to shul and pray. Get there and do the praying. He says that in the decision-making part, part one, am I going to shul tomorrow or not? There's no room for bitachon. Never say, people make a big mistake in life. Ah, bitachon, I shall put it in my heart. Wrong. The one area in your life where you have any say is, am I going to do good or bad? This is what you have called free choice. Bechira chofshi. There's no bitachon here. Hashem left this one up to you. Am I going to go to the class? Am I not going to go to the class? Am I going to shul? Am I not going to shul? Nothing to do with Hashem. It's all up to you. And sometimes we mix up where we have free choice and where we don't. Because in the other areas of life, in our businesses, in our money, finances, all that, that's all predestined. That's all written down already. The one area we have the choice, he says, here's a mashal. Imagine you had a business, as a father, you had a business. And the business had two parts. It has the loading dock where all the dirty work is done. Then it has the office where with the computers and all the technology. And the father had two sons. So his one son was a strong, muscular guy, but he wasn't all that bright. Another son was a genius, but a weakling. Just imagine the father would take the weakling son and put him in the loading dock, and he takes the muscle man and puts him in the office. He's ruining his business. He says sometimes it's the same thing with us. We have two parts to our life. We have our body and we have our soul, our neshama. What's our neshama? Our mind, our heart, our thoughts. So sometimes we put all our thoughts and all into the wrong business. We go to work, we put all our focus, all our mind, everything. You have no choice over there. That's predestined. You just got to put in your mehishtadur and next. And then we come to the spiritual where you have all the say. That's all you have. That's the only place you have choice. And we come to the class and sometimes we bring our bodies. We send the muscular son there. We have body. But where's your brain? Well, I don't know. We're not thinking sometimes. You go to shul, we send our bodies to shul, we're praying, blah, 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 blah. But where's the mind? That's where you should be putting your mind on. That's the focus. So in part one, in the decision-making process, there's your no bitachon. No bitachon. It's up to you. In the other parts of, am I going to get there? Is my car going to be available? Is the alarm going to go off? That's not up to you. That's Hashem is in charge of that. That you do your part. Your part is part. Make the necessary preparations. Put it in your mind, and you get full credit. That's not beyond that. It's not under your control. Continues. Chobot HaLavot now makes a compares and contrasts how Bitachon works in this world and the next world. He says, in this world, we never know if we're making the right decisions. You don't know. Your guy goes into this business, it could prosper, could not. I went and I made this the deal, this, I don't know. I don't, no idea what's going to be good for me. I try. He says, but in Avodat Hashem, in Olam Haba, in Ruchaniyut, you know exactly what to do. We have a Torah, we have a Shulchan Aruch. There's no question for doubt. It's beautiful. Hashem outlined exactly what you need to do, commanded you to do it, and promised you a reward. Sometimes in Inyanei Olam Hazeh, things appear to be good. It looks like a good deal. It turns out to be horrible. But by Avodat Hashem, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, regardless of the outcome, it's an automatic success. You don't need to see results. Just do it. Just follow the rules. Whatever comes out, none of your business. Doubt in life causes depression also. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know this. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? That's all depression. When a guy knows exactly what to do, I know I'm a happy person. I know I made a decision. I know it's the right decision. Next, move on. Don't look back. In Ruchaniyut, you follow the Shulchan Aruch, you follow the Torah, you ask the rabbi, I told you proper advice. Don't look back. It's over. That's it. You made the right choice. And this should be a soothing thought. We know exactly what we need to do in life. And you can feel good that you did that Atzon Hashem. You don't always have to worry what happens later. Another very important chelek of bitachon. Very important in our Avodat Hashem. Is that when you do a mitzvah, your only mindset should be that you're doing it to get closer to Hashem. I don't do mitzvot for kavod. I'm not learning to become knowledgeable and powerful and rule over people. And it's a natural tendency of a person, when he does something good, he wants people to notice. I want people to know. I want people to see when I do good. But the Baal Bitachon says, I'm not doing it to impress him. I'm doing it to impress Hashem. I know Hashem is watching me. I'm doing the mitzvot for Hashem. I'm not doing it for him. And when a person does mitzvot in a secretive, he does it in seclusion, he does it without anyone looking, he's not only being a humble person. He's being a boteach by Hashem. Hashem promised me reward for this. Hashem knows what I'm doing. I don't need to show anyone else. And he can master one of the hardest things in life. Ve'atzneya lechet im Hashem Elokecha. Be sanua with Hashem your God. It's a tremendous madrega. I always want to be noticed. Even when I was younger and I started learning, I was in the shul. I was in the shul one time late at night and the rabbi walked in. I was so happy. Wow, the rabbi saw me learning. I felt so good, you know. Or a guy does a good, nice act and somebody saw him do it. Oh. That's not the right way. We don't do it for other people to be impressed. You're doing it for one reason only. I'm doing it for God, and God sees me. That's all I need to know. This is very important in husband and wife relationships. A lot of times you're going to be asked to do a favor. Your wife's going to ask you, do a favor. Do me a favor. Go do this for me. And you come back and you're waiting for some credit. You know, I did this. Where's my thank you? Where's my this? Where's my that? And you know, I feel underappreciated. Why? You know what I do for you? You're not doing it for her. Hashem gave you a commandment in the Torah. He says, "V'halachta b'dracha, follow me. I do chesed, you do chesed." You're not doing it for her. You're doing it because I told you to do. And when you have that attitude, I'm going to the store now. You make l'shem yichud. I'm here by going to the store to buy my wife a present now to give this for her because Hashem commanded me to, not to impress her. You come back. If she says no, not one word. No, thank you. Beautiful. More credit. I don't need your thank you. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Hashem. It's beautiful. It saves you so much. People can't handle when they don't get the thank you. Of course, everyone has to say thank you. This is not. You should say thank you. But if you don't get the thank you, don't feel bad. That's not. It's better for you. Better. I don't want the thank you. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Hashem. And the more hidden you are, the more, they say, this rabbi called the Alter from Slobodka. He was from one of the most hidden people in the world. He had one of the world's biggest yeshivot, and no one ever saw him learning. He was always quiet, he was always hiding. If you go through the records of the yeshiva, you won't find his name on one document. He wanted to accomplish and disappear. The boys in his yeshiva, they used to learn late at night. And there's the rabbi's wife, he's lived right next door to the yeshiva. She invited the boys over for some cake and coffee and tea at night, you know, to give the boys a boost. The boys walked in at 11 o'clock at night, and they started eating, and one of the boys made a little loud noise. Another one, shh, the rabbi's sleeping. And the wife, she couldn't bear it anymore. She said, you think my husband's sleeping at 11 o'clock? He's up all night learning. You think he's sleeping? But the rabbi convinced his own students that he's sleeping. Do it in quiet. I don't need to let everybody know that I'm up all night learning. Why do they need to know? And the Chazon Ish says, he told his students, whatever you do, b'tzina'ah, any mitzvah, anything you do in private, you'll have much more heavenly help. Listen to an amazing Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Blows your mind away. There was a story of a rabbi. The rabbi's name was Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion. And he went to visit Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. It was a time there was decrees against the Jewish people. And this rabbi, Rabbi Chanina, was teaching Torah Barabim. At a time where his life was on the line. Teaching Torah in public. And he went to visit a rabbi. And he asked the rabbi, Rabbi, what's my status in Olam Haba? Am I going to go to Olam Haba or not? And the rabbi asked him, tell me some of your deeds. What do you do? And the rabbi said, I'll tell you one thing that I did. He says, many years ago, I had some money, some charity money, and my regular money. And they got mixed up. The monies got mixed up. And I didn't know which was my money, which was the charity money. And I gave it all to charity. The rabbi said, if that's the case, I wish I'm next to you in Olam Haba. That's the end of the Gemara. So the rabbis all asked the question. This rabbi is teaching Torah in public to hundreds of people at a time where his life's on the line, and this is what's getting him to Olam Haba. And the rabbi is not the other thing. We're not impressed. The rabbi didn't even say it. You know, I'm teaching Torah in public. He said, no, I mixed up the charity money. And the rabbi said that Rambam says because when you're teaching Torah in public, there's a little bit of who knows. Maybe you're getting honor. Everyone sees you. But if you took the tzedakah money with the regular money, no one knows about that. No one knew that? Yeah, that's Olam Haba. That's it. You do something in private, there's Olam Haba. It's a big madrega, but everyone should have something in their life that they do that's just between them and Hashem. Whether it's chesed, learning, that no one else knows about, tzedakah. Bitachon is so important because it gets right to the point. Nothing else matters. I'm not in control anyway. It's like taking a shortcut through life. Imagine you have a guy waiting online at the DMV. The line, sometimes 3-hour line. And he has something for 10 seconds. I just want to go one thing. I just want to cut through for 1 second. That's what bitachon is. It just cuts through all the tape. Forget about all the garbage. Let's get right to the point. The Baal Bitachon is living in a world of emet. He does not bothered by comments from other people. They don't affect him. I don't need their approval either, of course. Not because he's arrogant. Because he doesn't need approval from others. This class, we're ending the class now. This class is meant to be an inspiration to go delve more. Delve more yourselves now. Go look into the Bitachon books. And there's no end. There's no end to how high you could go in this area. It's endless. Just 2 hours ago, someone that I learned with a couple of years ago, Bitachon, he called me a couple of hours ago to tell me a story that I will end with this that happened to him today. This man was, and he's been in the last 2 years, forget about it. He went from book to book. He must have read 6-7 books on Bitachon. He told me it made me 2 months ago. He said that he's a little bit his business wasn't doing well at all. And he said, I'm not losing any hope. I'm not trying anything else. This business, we learned, he said, you told me that as long as it's a normal way of making money, I don't have to do anything abnormal. I'm keeping it. I'm not putting in any more extra hours, not any less. Whatever I always did, I'm doing. I'm moving on. And he said, I have bitachon. That's all I'm relying on is bitachon. Okay? Now he comes to me today, and he says, I have a beautiful story to tell you. He says that this Friday, he needed a certain amount of money, a lot of money by this Friday. And he says he only has two sources of income. He has nothing, maybe he had nothing in the bank, I don't know, he has two sources of income. One is the type of salary that the guy couldn't pay, couldn't get paid. There's no way he's getting paid by this Friday. And the other source, somebody owed him money, they told him, I can't pay you either. And he's in trouble. There's no else other way for him to get money. He needs a lot of money by this Friday. And he says, I kept having bitachon, bitachon, I know Hashem's going to come through for me. He says, I'm not scared. He says, I'm going to try these two avenues again. I ask one more time. I ask, and that's all I can do. If they give me, they give me. If not, I did my ishtalut. He asked this one, sorry, next week maybe. This one, no. Okay. He said, okay, Hashem has it. He says that on the train this morning, he's reading Chobot Levavot. He's reading Shad Bitachon. He's working on his Bitachon. He says he got into the office, and he has one letter in the mail, one thing. He says he opens up the thing. He says he's shaking. I don't know why. He just felt it. He opens up. He sees a check for the exact amount. Maybe he says a couple of dollars off of a large number of money. Exactly what he needs by this Friday. And who is it from? He said he made a deal maybe in real estate 2 years ago. The guy never paid. He totally forgot about it. Totally forgot about the money. Had no idea. And the money shows up to this day. He says, this is candy. It's candy from Hashem. He kept his bitachon. He says, it's all the sweeter. It's so sweet, he says. He says, it was all worth it for this moment. He says, he walked around the whole day with a smile on his face. It was all worth it. This is the space of the bitachon. Bezrat Hashem, we'll work hard. We'll reach these levels. And Hashem will only shower us with beracha. Amen.
Amen. Amen.